Hey guys, I'm Logan.
And I'm her mom, Patsy.
And this is Chills, a true crime podcast.
One that's sure to give you chills.
All right, a few things before we get started in today's episode. We are going to be changing up our upload day. So from now on, we will have new episodes out every single Monday. And then we also want to thank you guys so much for the recent listens, the downloads, and then all of the ratings and reviews. We are going to start shouting out our 5-star reviews towards the end of the episode. So make sure you guys leave us a little 5-star and we'll shout you out. Also, if you do rate and review us, make sure that you send us a screenshot on any of our social medias, which is at Chills Podcast, or on Facebook, it's Chills, a true crime podcast, or you can email us at chillspodcast@yahoo.com and we will send you a Chills Podcast sticker whenever they actually end up getting made, because I still have yet to have them made yet, but we will send you one eventually. All right, let's get into today's episode. So today's episode is going to be called The Driller Killer. All right, so today we're going to be talking about David and Clara Harris. Hopefully I'm saying her name correctly. I probably should have looked into that more. It's C-L-A-R-A. That's Clara, right?
I would think Clara? So, yeah.
Clara?
Clarice.
Clara. Well, I'm going to call her Clara because that's what it looks like to me. Probably should look that up, but it's okay. Whatever. So David Harris was an orthodontist and his wife, Clara, was a dentist. They owned multiple thriving offices and they were very successful and actually owned a very upscale house in Friendswood, Texas. I read a lot of articles. Please stop reading my notes. You cannot find things out before other people. You have to be surprised like everyone else. She's giving me the dirtiest look. All right. Anyway, so I read a lot of articles that referred to their house as a mansion. So you know that they were definitely doing real good for themselves. You're definitely going to hear Tinsley, as always. Probably not even going to say it anymore because you're just going to know. Yeah. You're just going to know. So they were very rich and they drove very luxurious cars. Clara loved her shiny Mercedes-Benz. So Clara was a Colombian immigrant and was actually named Mrs. Columbia Houston. So David and Clara got married on February 14th, 1992 at the Nassau Bay Hilton. They said it would be a perfect tribute to their love having it on Valentine's Day. So David had a daughter, Lindsay, from a previous marriage, and then in 1998, Clara gave birth to 2 twin sons. They were perfect until 2002 when Clara started noticing that David was distant. What could be going on with her, you know, perfect marriage? So Clara grew suspicious and she hired a private investigator to spy on her husband and see what he was up to. Turns out Dr. David was having an affair. His affair was with Gail Bridges, who was a receptionist at one of the offices that they owned. And everybody and their brother knew about it. But Clara. So Bridges previously said that her paycheck got bigger and bigger as her relationship with the married father of 3 grew closer. Yeah, right? She was getting a little something extra.
Yeah.
So then on July 16th, 2002, Clara decided to confront her husband of 10 years and ask him point blank if he was having an affair. And then this next part is from a Houston Press article, which I will link in the show notes. But it was an article that was done with Lindsay, who is the daughter from a previous marriage, and she was 16 at the time. So just so you know, because it's kind of be in her type of viewpoint a little bit. So she said that she could hear David and Clara having a conversation in their room, and she heard Clara ask David if he loved the woman that he was having an affair with, and if he was actually having an affair. And he said that he was having an affair and that he didn't know if he loved her or not, but he would do anything not to get a divorce. Then she said that her stepmom ran downstairs where Lindsay was in the kitchen making breakfast, and she just looked at her stepmom and literally said, "I already know. Everybody in the office knows." This is whenever Clara then ran back upstairs and slapped her husband dead in the face. He didn't die. She slapped him in the face. I want to point that out. Anywhere. That was probably not the right choice of words. But slapped him right in the face. David grabbed her arm and then threw her down. This is whenever Lindsay dashed into their room and said, "What are you doing to her dad? She just found out. What are you doing?" So this is whenever David sneered at them both and said, "You two are perfect. I am leaving. You will never see me again." Yeah. So later on, David told his daughter that he felt neglected by his wife after the birth of their two twins 3 years earlier, and that's why he had an affair. Clara made him promise that he would fire Gail, and that if he didn't, Clara would do it. He didn't fire her, so Clara fired her. And then he eventually explained in detail the affair and even went as far to compare his wife to his lover. This is a direct quote from Clara. She said that he said that. So this is what Clara said that David said. She had no fat, zero fat. She was a fantasy come true, and we had sex 3 times a day, at least. So this is what he's telling his wife about his affair. And, like, I guess he went into, like, a lot of detail. But this led her to, like, throughout that week after she found out, she started going to a tanning salon. She dyed her dark hair blonde. She joined a gym and then consulted a plastic surgeon about liposuction and breast implants. And then on July 23rd, Clara and her stepdaughter hung out all day. They went shopping and made a little pit stop. Lindsay said Clara was very nervous that day because David had told her that he was going to break it off with Gail. And so their little pit stop that they made was at the Nassau Bay Hilton. So if you remember, this is the place that they got married 10 years before. This is where David confessed that him and Gail would spend most of their time together. So they spent their time having an affair at the hotel where he got married to his wife 10 years before. Gosh. Lindsay said that Clara was calm and then tears started streaming down her face whenever they were in the hotel. So then the next day, which was July 24th, Clara again enlisted the help of the PI. She told him to follow her husband and basically to confirm that he was really ending it with Gail. But the PI ended up losing them, which made Clara, you know, go in a full-on panic. So she hopped in her Mercedes, making Lindsay drive, and they drove to the places that David had previously told her that he and Gail often went to. So Clara almost gave up when she finally received a call around 8:30 that night from the PI, and he said that David and Gail were at the Nassau Bay Hilton, so the same hotel, and that he would have a full report for her first thing in the morning. But that didn't matter. No. She's like, uh-uh. She's like, I'm gonna go to this hotel. So Lindsay said she called her house phone and told the governess, which I had to look this up. I did not know what this is. Apparently it is like basically a tutor, but in rich people talk. So she told, so Clara had her stepdaughter call the governess and told her to pack some clothes for her husband into a suitcase and then set them outside and then throw everything else into the trash. Then Clara turned to Lindsay and told her to drive to the Hilton. Whenever they got there, they found Gail's car in the parking lot. Clara bent the windshield wipers and keyed her car. And then I'm a little iffy on this part because I don't really understand it. I think that it may have been a typo, but it was in multiple articles, so I'm not sure. But it said that on her own car, which was her silver Mercedes-Benz, she began to scratch the word adulterer. But that makes no sense because it's her own car. Why would she scratch that into her own car? So I'm thinking that somehow it was a typo on multiple reports, but I have no idea. Mm. I mean, unless she was like, okay, this is also David's car. I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway, the word adulterer was carved into some car. Unclear on which one it was. So to get David to come out of the room, Clara called David's phone and told him that he needed to come home right away because one of the children was sick and that she needed him. She was very calm until she saw David and Gail strolling out of the elevator hand in hand. David saw her and walked right up to Clara, and then Clara tried to hit him in the face, but he averted the blow, so then she turned her sights on Gail. She hit Gail in the face so hard she fell to the ground and then pulled her hair and pounded her head into the ground while calling her a bitch and saying, "You slept with my husband." Eventually, security pulled her off of Gail.
Dang.
Yeah. So then I also want to mention, Lindsay said that she started screaming while this whole Gail little fight was going on. Lindsay started screaming to her father, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you," and was hitting him with her purse. So then David told his wife, he walked up to her and said, "It's over." And then Clara led Lindsay to the car, taking the keys to her Mercedes from her. They got in the car, and then with Clara being the driver, and they both saw her dad walk Gail to her car. And then Clara gunned the engine and said, "I'm going to hit him." She stepped on the gas and went straight toward him. David raised his hand as if to stop. And then Clara hit him, then turned the car around and ran him over two more times.
Oh my God.
With his daughter in the car.
Oh.
In the passenger seat. So, this poor child witnessed.
As if she wasn't involved enough.
Witnessed her father being murdered, feeling the bump of his body underneath of the car as she drove over him three times.
Wow.
Yeah. I will mention this too because I don't want it to come back like a discrepancy, but I know in the like court hearing and stuff, they said they like tried to make it sound like she only ran him over once, but apparently she ran him over three times, and that's what her daughter, like her stepdaughter, says as well. But I know in some of the reports it says it was only one time. So, Tinsley.
Well, I would think if you put it in reverse and backed up and you ran over him again, that's at least
twice. Well, she didn't put it in reverse. She, like...
Oh, turned around.
Yeah, like, did a circle. Because it's a parking lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, literally saw this happening the whole time. Terrifying. So then Clara stops the car and they both get out. Lindsay starts to hit Clara in the face. And then Clara runs over to David and lays on the ground next to him and says, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. It was an accident."
Three times.
It was an accident. I didn't mean to do it. So then David Harris was pronounced dead and at the scene. And then whenever the police arrived, Clara was immediately arrested. So you remember that PI from before? Well, turns out he got the whole thing on tape. Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
Yeah. It is a little grainy, though, so you can't really make out exactly what's happening. But you do see her run him over at least one time. So it can't be confirmed if it was three times on the tape because you can't really make it out because of where he was.
Mm-hmm.
But it's confirmed that she definitely ran him over once. So her trial began in February 2003, and Lindsay testified against her stepmother. And the video the PI took was shown in court. Like I said, the video shows her circling her Mercedes around the parking lot three times, although it doesn't show like David clearly in the video. So it does show her like circling, but it doesn't show her running him over. So just so you know. So then Clara claims she did not mean to kill David, that she just wanted to wreck Gail's car. And then a couple articles that I read, well, honestly, there was only like two articles and one of them was Wikipedia. So I don't know if this is true or not. It said that Gail's leg was hit, but I couldn't really confirm this or not. One of the articles I read was Wikipedia, and then the other article was, like, an interview that Gail did. But then, like, Lindsay's story says something a little bit different, so I don't think that she was actually hit, but apparently she was hit. I don't really know, but it's a little fuzzy, so I did just want to mention that. So, Clara was found guilty February 14th, 2003, which is really...
February 14th.
Yeah, which is really ironic. It was their wedding anniversary. It would have been 11 years. So, she was sentenced to 20 years in prison and fined $10,000. 20 years is the maximum sentence allowed. A murder in sudden passion carries a minimum penalty of 2 years to a maximum of 20 years in Texas. So, Lindsay Harris, which was, again, the stepdaughter, she tried committing suicide three different times following the months after the murder. Her mother, Deborah Shank, filed a wrongful death lawsuit in Galveston federal court on Lindsay's behalf.
That's so sad.
I mean, I can't really imagine. In the articles that I read, it said that she became a completely different person, that she was, you know, outgoing, she was a cheerleader, like, had a lot of friends, and she just kind of, like, secluded herself from everyone and just stopped. She had a dream to, like, go on to become an orthodontist, just like her father, and she gave up that dream. I also read where, like, in the offices, he actually, like, included, because it was, like, a full-on office. Mm-hmm. Like, it had everything. It was, like, supposed to be, like, a one-stop shop. Like, your orthodontist, your dentist, your hygienist, mm-hmm. everything that you possibly need to do with your teeth in one area. And he had actually already created a, because she was 16 at the time, he'd already created an office for her, so mm-hmm. that way, whenever she did graduate, she would just move right into the family business. But, like I said, she didn't end up becoming an orthodontist. So, Gerald and Millie Harris, which is David's parents, they were all estranged from their granddaughter, Lindsay, because of her civil suit and then their unwavering support of Clara Harris, which I don't... Okay, I'll tell you my theory on this. So, they actually ended up lending her $70,000 for her legal bills. And then, in 2007, they ended up filing a wrongful death lawsuit. I think that the reason why that they were showing this unwavering support for Clara is they thought that maybe they would get custody of her two twin boys. Mm. So I'm thinking that that's what it was, because whenever she did end up going to prison, the two twin boys went to live with two of David and Clara's really good friends. So they obviously didn't get custody of... Mm. Yeah, well, I don't really understand how that works. Play. Yeah. So they didn't get custody of the twins, and then, you know, eventually they filed this wrongful death lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that that's why they were showing her support, so that they could, you know, possibly get custody. But still, I feel like that's sad that they became estranged from their granddaughter to hopefully get custody of their grandsons. Yeah, so really sad thing. But basically, the wrongful death lawsuit, both of them, they won. So Lindsay's won her wrongful death lawsuit, and Clara had to pay so much money to her. And then Gerald and Millie won their wrongful death lawsuit, and so then Clara had to pay so much money to her. And then I also read that basically it made her go broke, because she had to give all of her money for legal bills and like legal bills for her defense and everything, and then as well as her losing these wrongful death lawsuits. After the conviction, the state revoked her legal right to practice dentistry in Texas, and I read an article where a legal analyst stated that a well-known dentist like herself might be able to successfully petition to get her professional license back. This is coming from him, he said that with people who are like a lawyer, engineer, or doctor for reinstatement, it might take a while, but since it's been like so long since they practiced, but the process is available. Which I don't think's right.
No.
At all. Just because you're a doctor,
you can... Just because you made it successful doesn't... Yeah, that's not...
Just because you're a doctor, you can get back into it and go be a doctor again? Just like nothing happened? No, you went to prison, you killed somebody, you shouldn't be able to do that. Like, at all. So, after serving 15 years of her 20-year sentence, Clara was paroled for good behavior. So she didn't even serve 20 years, which honestly, I feel like even 20 years is like a light sentence.
Very light.
To me. I mean, I understand somebody. That it was like a crime of passion, but still crazy. So this case was very popular in the media, even though I'd never heard about it. And everyone speculated on it. There were so many questions of whether Clara was a cold-blooded murderer or if she was a good woman who simply lost it when she found out her husband was cheating.
I wonder if she would have ran over him just once, if it would have made a difference.
I don't know.
I feel like going around, turning around, and coming back and doing it three times made a difference.
Yeah.
And then with the daughter in the car.
That's what
gets me. Because that's just messed up. Well, and that's like... The whole thing was messed up to get her involved, but to witness that...
That's what her main defense was for, that's like, just wrong. The crime of passion.
Yeah.
Because... Like, her lawyer was like, do you really think that she would bring her... If she, you know, planned this murder out, do you really think that she would bring her stepdaughter with her?
She kind of involved her in the whole entire thing from the beginning.
I know. That's what I thought through the whole entire thing. I was like, I don't really know if that's, very, like, super appropriate.
I mean, I understand. Well, actually, she was, I'm going to tell you,
it's unappropriate. Like, it's not appropriate at all. But, I mean, her dad was also...
But clearly she wasn't thinking straight, so...
Yeah, her dad was also including in it... Like, including her. In, like, the interview with that, the Houston Press or whatever, she, like, literally went on and, like, said, like, she knew that he was having an affair because she saw him, like, put her, like, his hand on Gail's leg. Mm. And at first she didn't think anything of it, but then she, like, started watching them more, and it became, like, apparent that it was more than just, like, an employer-boss relationship. And, like, there were little things where she's, like, saw him. Yeah. Like, she saw her dad, like, drop a whole bunch of papers on purpose, and then, like, Gail, like, got in front of him and, like, bent down and, like, picked him up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, and so she saw all this, and so she knew, like, everyone apparently in the office knew that they were having an affair because they were not shy about it. And I also read where Gail said that David told her that they had an open marriage. I don't know if that's true or not, but obviously they didn't have an open marriage, but apparently that's what was said. I have no idea if that's true. So even Oprah actually interviewed her for her talk show, and I will include a picture of that as well, but it was a very popular case, and people actually refer to this, like, whenever their husband, like, does something to them that, or, well, like, whenever their husband does something that's, like, stupid, she will say, like, people will say, I'm thinking about pulling a Clara Harris.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Lifetime actually made a movie about this. It has, like, different names and stuff, but it's based on this story, and it's called Suburban Madness.
I haven't seen it. I watch a lot of Lifetime.
I think it's from, like, 2004, so it's an older one.
I still might be able to find it on the internet. I'm gonna look it up. Try and watch it.
It has, I can't remember his name, but he's pretty popular in it. The guy that plays David in it. Because I went and, like, just looked at the pictures and stuff of the show. But yeah, that's our case. It was a pretty short one, but I thought it was kind of crazy. And they call her the driller killer because she's a dentist.
Ah, get it.
Yeah. Even though she didn't kill him that way, but still. I know.
She should have just divorced him. She would have gotten a lot more money. Mm-hmm. And Lindsay probably would have went with her. Sounds like she really wanted much to do with her dad after all that.
Yeah, that's true. She was pissed off at her dad, so she probably would have.
It's sad. Her life is ruined.
Well, I mean, it clearly was a... Well, I don't know. I mean, I do believe it was a crime of passion.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. I don't know. I'm like 99.9% positive I found her on Facebook. Because it looks just like her. And so I went and, like, looked at her friends list because I was like, okay, like, where are her sons? So, and then I found a guy because, like, her sons are Bradley and Brian? I can't remember. I know one of them is Bradley. I can't remember the son's name. But I'm, like, 99% sure that it's her because it looks just like her. And then she has a Bradley on Facebook, and but his last name is different. So it could have been... from, like, his adopted, like...
Right, the they could have changed his name, exactly. Because they did adopt him, right?
Mm-hmm. But and then I didn't...
I think you have a right to change a name.
Well, I don't know if they adopted him, but I know that they have custody of him. I don't know how that works. Oh. But I didn't find her other son on her friends list, but then I went to her son's friends list, and I found the other son. So I'm pretty sure it's her. I'm pretty sure, but... Anyway. So, that's it for the case. I'm going to add, like, a little segment onto our episodes where we just talk about what we're going, what we got going on this week. So, what are you doing this week?
Super Bowl.
Yeah. We're having a little Super Bowl party. We're going to eat some good food. Brandon is going to,
smoke wings.
Yeah, smoke wings. He's been talking about it for days. He's excited. Yep.
I am too.
We literally decided that we're going to go and stay at my parents' Saturday night so that way we can get up early on Sunday and start cooking. Because we are going to cook a crap ton. We'll literally cook so much.
It's the best part.
Yeah. I have a funny story about the Super Bowl. So, in high school, I made a Facebook post and it was like something like, so excited for the Super Bowl or something like that. But instead of bowl, I put bow. So it was so excited for the Super Bowl. Because I'm an idiot.
Spell check.
So now every single time I think of the Super Bowl, I think of the time I...
Super Bowl.
Yeah, was an idiot. Yeah, you think that's funny too, huh? Ooh, last weekend we went bar hopping. And by bar hopping, we went to one bar. Two? And then out to eat.
Went to two.
I mean, it was a bar with food, so yeah, but still.
We went to two bars.
Oh, no, you're right. We went to a bar afterwards.
One before and one after.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
And trust
me,
that doesn't happen. I never go bar hopping. But it was all together.
Yeah. It was my parents, so you and dad, Brandon's parents, and then his brother and...
Yeah, nice little get together, get to know each other.
Speaking of, shout out to Madison, because I know that she listens to our podcast.
So. Hi, Madison.
Because I know she listens, because she talked about it this past weekend whenever we were bar hopping. But yeah, I learned that I'm too old for this shit.
You?
I didn't even have that many drinks. Like three, I think. And I still felt like awful the next couple days.
It was nice to get out and do something, though.
Yeah.
I like to be at home. I love to spend my time off just sitting at home, chilling at the house.
Yeah.
Love it. I hate going places and doing things anymore. But it was nice to get out and do stuff.
Yeah, it was nice to get out.
Get to know his family a little better.
Have you listened to any new crimey stuff?
No, I've just been catching up on my weekly
podcast
that I listen to.
Yeah, so making my way
through. I don't know what I'm going to do whenever I get all caught up with them. I'll have to start binge-watching something, listen to something else.
Yeah.
Because just tuning in for one episode, I mean, I'd constantly be playing on my phone at work, so I'm going to have to binge, listen to something else.
Yeah, I know I have, like, a Monday playlist, so Monday, because they're all, like, uploaded, like, right around the same day. And so on Mondays, I listen to all of my new podcasts. But I'm still making my way through Crime Wives.
Yeah, me too.
I think I have like three episodes left, I think. And I'm not sure what I'm going to listen to once I get done with that. I'll find something else to binge. Because I just literally play them over and over and over and over again. And I think I mentioned Crime Wives before. Real good podcast.
I also like to get on YouTube and look at like unsolved murders and stuff like that.
Yeah, I do that a lot too. The only thing why I don't like to do it as much is because while listening to podcasts, I can do other things on my phone. Whereas YouTube, I have to play it all the way through.
Oh, well, I do mine at work, so I just
listen. I also do mine at work. Brandon and I finished the Aaron Hernandez documentary.
I started it, but...
I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like there was a lot of information that, like, I don't know, I felt like it was too long, and it just went into a lot of detail about things that really did not matter about, like, the actual case, and you still really don't really know that much information about the case. And there's actually a, part in it where I feel like they almost kind of blame it on the fact that he has, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's, like, this brain condition that you get from, like, being hit over and over again. A lot of, like, football players get it. And here, let me find the picture. It's, like, really, like, crazy to look at the picture. Don't forget that we're going to be posting on Mondays for now on. And then also, don't forget to go rate and review us. And we're going to start shouting out those on next week's episode at the end. Just because I forgot to screenshot the rating and reviews for this episode. So, yeah. So I can't remember what it's called, but look. So the top one, and I'll post this on our Instagram just because I find it so interesting. The top one is a normal 27-year-old's brain. The bottom one is Aaron Hernandez.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's definitely something going on there. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just basically, I think that it's like where you get like so many concussions. Mm-hmm. And it almost like looks like, I don't even know, like something ate away at his brain. Like it's crazy. Mm-hmm. The craziest look.
You know, I've always been fascinated with, like, the brains of a serial killer, you know?
I know.
There's got to be something different in their brain that thinks different than us.
It's called CTE, which is chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I don't know.
So I'd like to see what the brain, like, what a normal brain of a person to look like. It's just
like a
person
killers.
And a serial killer. And see if there's any... Because they have no remorse. Some of them have no remorse. And they have no...
I don't know if that was necessarily something that you could physically see, though, on like a brain powder.
I don't know. Because a lot of times, like, after they die or whatever, they'll do, like, different things on their brain. feel like as far as science has gone, you'd be able to do something while they're still alive.
Yeah.
You know, I would think somehow, some way, they would have come out with some way to test people's brains for stuff like that.
I mean, it is 2020, you would think. But
I was thinking that the other day when I was watching something about a killer and he was sitting there confessing. He's like, I don't regret it. I don't regret it at all. I was just like, oh my gosh, how could he
The I Am Killer. Yeah, I watched the first episode of that.
It's creepy. Yeah. I've never watched a documentary of a guy actually talking about a murder. I mean, like, I've heard him talking like in the background, like in podcasts and stuff, but I've never actually watched their facial expressions. And it was just
horrifying. I don't like it either.
It was the creepiest thing.
Because he's like looking, it's like he's looking at you.
Yes.
Because he's looking directly into the camera. Yeah, really creepy. I don't know if I'll be able to finish that documentary. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys later.
Bye.